Welcome to Declaration Church Online. We are so glad that you've joined us this morning. Our prayer is that you are deeply encouraged through Pastor John's message and that God would move in your life in a powerful way. God is doing big and amazing things right now in and through our church, and we would so love for you to be a part of it. Before we join the service in progress, I want to share a few quick things with you. We would love for you to interact with us at facebook.com/declarehim. And if you would like more information about all things Declaration Church, please visit us at declaration.org. Now, as we join the service, I would like to say, welcome home.
What's up, everybody? You doing all right?
Good.
Well, man, I want you to think back to Easter story with me, if you will. Back to the Easter story. I know it's been a few weeks and you've slept a couple times, but I want you to think back. I think it's important to the message for today. We have a lot to celebrate today. You know, speaking of celebration, today is Celebration Sunday. Amen. It's going to be a good day. I hope that you're ready. I hope you're excited. And here's the truth of the matter, though. If you think about Easter, every day should be about celebration because Jesus is alive, right? Every day. And as his church, I believe our why is rooted in resurrection. It's rooted in our mission, our mandate, and even this movement initiative that we've been talking about for weeks is rooted in resurrection. It's all because of Jesus. It's Jesus dying on the cross to secure our forgiveness from sin. It's Jesus purchasing our freedom through his sacrifice. And because of his resurrection, we find hope and we find life and we find joy and peace and purpose and we find our reason. We find our why. So we have so much to be thankful for and so much to celebrate. Can we just give the Lord a hand this morning just to clap offering? Just give him your best for a second. Come on, church. So much to celebrate. I hope that you're excited. I hope you're ready. We got a lot of clapping to do today, all right? Because there's some good things for me to tell you about. All right, so today on this Movement Celebration Sunday, it's also our Big Give Sunday. I talked a little bit about that, and I'll talk some more towards the back end of the message. But I want you to know today our message is called Our Why Behind Our What. Our why behind our what. According to Matthew chapter 28, with Easter in mind, all right, early resurrection morning, when those women went to the tomb, scripture tells us that some things happened. The ground shook, the angel of the Lord appeared, rolls away the stone, and sits on it. And when he does this, the guards freak out and they pass out in fear, right? The angel tells the women, do not be afraid. And he says, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he invites them, hey, come take a look. He's not here. He's been raised from the dead. And then in verse 7, he says this. Look what he says. He says, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. He says, you will see him there. Then the angel says, remember what I've told you. Now, I want you to remember this. Think about this. The disciples, they had gone to Jerusalem. They had experienced a tumultuous series of events in just a few short days. In just the span of a week, they had experienced so many things. They experienced the triumphal entry. They experienced, or I should say, they had great expectation of a new kingdom. They had experienced the betrayal of a trusted friend and brother. They had nearly been arrested themselves. Peter had denied Jesus three times, just as Jesus said that he would. And these disciples, they knew that their leader and Peter had denied Jesus. They saw the beating and the crucifixion and the execution, the murder of Jesus. And now they've experienced the resurrection of Jesus, followed by a couple of manifestations or appearances of the risen Jesus. So understandably, after a week like this, the disciples are probably pretty shaken up, even potentially somewhat confused and very unsure about the future. So do you kind of have an understanding of maybe where their headspace is at, right? This is where they are. But remember, at the tomb, the angel told them, Jesus has gone ahead of you. The angel told them that they would see Jesus again, that he had risen from the dead. And at this point, Jesus had already appeared to some of them, a couple of times to be exact. And this is where we will pick up the story, but we're going to pick it up from John chapter 21. So if you've got your Bible, go there. If you don't, no stress. Too blessed to be stressed. We're going to put it on the screen for you, all right? So I love how John 21 in the NLT starts because it's so dramatic. I mean, there's some language in there that's so dramatic. Look at it with me. John 21, verses 1 through 17. Verses 1 says, later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And then these words, these are the dramatic words. It says, this is how it happened. Now, I read it just like that when I was like, this is how it happened. I was like, man, that requires something. That's so dramatic. It's like it needs something with it. Like, this is how it happened. So in my mind, this is what happened. I think it needed something like this, maybe. This is sorry. I couldn't. I had to. All right, so this is how it happens. Several of his disciples were there. You had Simon Peter. You had Thomas, nicknamed the twin. You've got Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. So you got many of Jesus' peeps there, right? They're hanging out. You got denying Peter. You got doubting Thomas. You got Nate, who I don't know why they didn't just shorten it, from Nathanael from Cana in Galilee. I'm like, who says that? Just call him Nate. Everybody relax, all right? You got Peter, Thomas, Nate, you got James and John, and you got two other guys, not worthy of mention, but they're there, right? Two names that we don't know. They're all together, probably not far from the sea. They're hanging out in this one house. Most likely they're catching their breath from this crazy week that they had just experienced together. And most likely they're trying to figure out, what in the world are we supposed to do now? I mean, I can only imagine this scene, and think of it with me. I can only imagine the emotions that they're all feeling, the confusion of the moment, and all of a sudden, it's like with all of these things that have happened, with all of this brewing, with all of the tension in the room, Peter says something in verse 3 that I really want you to take notice of, because he says this, after all this, he goes, you know what? Well, he goes, I'm going to go fishing. Okay, I'm going to go fishing. I mean, this is what he decides to do. It's as if he gets to the end of it all, and he's just like, I'm just going to go fishing. Now, I know for some of you in the room, you're like, yep, that's exactly what I would have done. He's like, I can't anymore. I can't do it anymore. I'm just going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to that. See, don't miss this. No matter the news of Jesus' resurrection, no matter the appearances of Jesus since he rose from the dead, here's Peter in the moment. He says, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go back to my original occupation. Come on and go with there with me, somebody. He's basically saying, I'm just going to go back to ordinary. I'm going to go back to easy, at least in comparison to all this. I'm going to go back to what's familiar to me. That's what he says. I mean, just think about it. What if Abraham had done that? I mean, how much have we spent in Genesis 12 talking about this faith step that God invites Abraham into, to the land that he will show him? Not here's the coordinates, Abraham, but you got to step first and I'm going to show you. Walk with me, I'm going to get you there. What if Abraham had said, well, thanks God for this promise of this land, but you know what? I know I left familiar for faith, but I'm going to go back to safe. I'm going to go play it easy. I'm going to go back to ordinary. I mean, thank God he didn't. Because see, the lineage of Jesus, this Jesus came through that lineage of Abraham, right? And so here you've got Peter. And Peter, because he is the leader, when he says, I'm going to go fishing, what happens? All the disciples in the house say, you know what, we're going to go too. We'll go as well. So they all went out in the boat, and Scripture says, but they caught nothing all night. See, basically, it feels like these men decided to just settle back into the life that Jesus had once called them from. They were fishermen before following Jesus in faith. And now, after all that they have seen, after all that they have encountered, after all that they had witnessed, after all that they had been through, Peter says, I'm just going to go back to fishing. And the other disciples follow along. I mean, how many of us have done that before? You've taken the faith step with God and you're moving and you're walking and man, it starts getting tough. Your expectation doesn't match your experience. The commitment that you made is too high. The cost is too heavy. I'm just going to go back to what I what I did before. I mean, it's too hard. It's too real right now. It's too demanding. And so you find yourself wanting safe, feeling like, I don't know what to do, so I'll just do what I know. I'll do what I can do, something familiar. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but I used to do Christian music back in the day. And did some songwriting and worked with some labels in Nashville. And I learned some things about the way Christian music operates. Did you know that if you listen to any Christian music, you have been labeled into a very tight little beautiful demographic that they call Becky? And Becky is a 30-something-year-old soccer mom who drives a minivan and listens to white boys that play guitars. And what they'll do is they'll get about, I don't know, 10 or 15 of you in the room, and they'll play about 15 seconds of a song. And they're like, oh, yeah, I like that. And that's how it gets on the radio. Becky. Becky is a bowhead believer. And, you know, there's so many times in lives, and not, you know, just kind of making fun of it, but there's so many times in lives where Kelly and I have been walking this faith path, and God has called us into crazy stuff, and we've stepped into it, but there's so many times, can I tell you, through spiritual warfare, through stuff that we've gone through, there's so many times that we've just kind of looked at each other and said, man, oh, what it would be like just to be a naive, bowhead Becky Christian, to go back to safe and simple, familiar, where it doesn't demand much. Where the cost is not high. See, a lot of us are satisfied with the fire insurance of eternal life, but how many of us are willing to risk it for abundant life? Somebody better write that down. That was not my note. That was somebody here. Yeah. It's on the podcast. That's right. So I want you to consider this. Think about it. I mean, did Peter decide to default back because he didn't understand Jesus' commission? Or was this Peter's reaction to conviction for denying Jesus three times? Was he feeling like such a failure over his past that he decided he may as well just settle back into it? Can I say this? Listen, this is the worst lie of the enemy that we all too often find ourselves making agreements with. That we are so stuck in the failure of our past that we settle into it. And it not only consumes our present, but it co-opts and robs us of our future as well. So, or maybe, let's just give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe Peter was just hungry. Maybe the dudes are like, dude, I'm starving. There is no Mickey D's nearby. And it's Sunday, so Chick-fil-A is closed, right? I mean, maybe they're hungry. I don't know. Maybe they don't want to be idle, and so they return to what they know. I'm not sure, but obviously what I want you to see is Peter decides to go back to familiar, and because his leadership's still on point, all the other disciples that were with him, they join him, so they fish, and they fish all night, and they know what they're doing, but they catch nothing. They catch nothing. Do not forget, these guys are skilled fishermen. This is the past trade they used to all be involved in. They know what they're doing. They know the waters that they are in. Before they accepted the call to follow Jesus, they were fishermen. I mean, they know exactly what's going on. In fact, they're even part of the tribes on the Sea of God. On these waters, they are part of the tribe. They can cast a net. See, these waters were open to anyone to fish with hook only unless you were a part of a certain tribe, and only in that tribe could cast nets. They know this lake. They know where they are. They know where the fish are. They know when the fish bite. And there they are, and they catch nothing all night. Look at verse 4, though, because someone needs to see this today. Someone needs to hear this. The first two words of verse 4 says, at dawn. And you need to hear it. Listen, at dawn, Jesus is standing on the beach. Can I tell you something? There's always a new day for you. No matter your failure, God is faithful and God is forgiving. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, there's always a sunrise coming and there's always new mercies for you every morning. And at dawn, there's Jesus. Some of you need an at dawn experience. You need to look up and listen for him because he's calling you every day. At dawn, Jesus is standing on the beach, but the disciples can't see who it is, so Jesus calls out, fellas, have you caught any fish? No, they reply. And then he says this. He goes, well, hey, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. As if we're on the wrong side of the boat, sir. Do you know who we are? Do you know what we do? I mean, who is this guy? Who does he think he is trying to Monday morning quarterback my fishing experience? I mean, does he not think for 1 second maybe they've tried this at some point during the, oh, I don't know, 12 hours that they were on the water? Right? Cast the net on the other side. As if that's going to do anything. I mean, this is crazy talk. They caught nothing all night. Doesn't this guy get this? They caught nothing. And now, just throw the net on the other side of the boat, guys. Sure, fella. We'll do that. So you know what they do? Look at verse 7 or verse 6. They did. They threw the net on the other side of the boat. And it says they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Can I tell you this? Listen, how many times do we try to operate in our own power when if we would just listen for Jesus, we could operate in His? I mean, yeah, we can accomplish some things through our own ability, or we can accomplish supernatural things through His anointing. So the disciple that Jesus loved, John, says to Peter, oh, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. And John knew immediately this was Jesus on shore because only Jesus could provide abundantly in an instant what had been completely absent all night. And Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He puts on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, and he jumps into the water and he heads to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from it. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Can I tell you something, church? Listen, Jesus always provides for you. Even when you think you've failed and you've gone too far, He's waiting on the shore at dawn waiting to provide for you. And there He is. He says, hey, bring some of the fish that you caught. And Simon Peter goes aboard, drags the net to the shore. There's 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't even torn. I mean, it's full to nearly overflowing, but not torn. Listen to me, please listen. I know today is Celebration Sunday, and we're going to reveal the total of our movement commitments together. But understand, I believe this. I believe that we have done what God has asked us to do through these commitments. Let me say it this way. In faith, you've said yes to the Lord. This is what you have heard God tell you to do. Many of us have been casting a net. We've been casting a net faithfully for a while as a church for 3 years. And unlike our fishermen in the story, these disciples who saw nothing, they caught nothing, we have caught some fish as fisher of men. We have seen people come to know God and begin to find freedom and discover their God, redemptive, created purpose. And now they're making a difference. And that is amazing. We are making a difference together. But today, listen, with our commitments and with us bringing what I believe is the beginning of our offerings to God, this is us casting our nets on the other side of the boat. This is what we're doing. In radical faith, we are joining God as He's moving in church. Listen, I truly believe this moment is a moment. It's for such a time as this moment. It's a defining moment for a defining movement, not only in our church, but also in this city, in this region, in this whole area, in this state, and in this entire world. I believe God is calling us, this church, to make an eternal impact in this world. See, movement has never been about a building, contrary to what some might believe. But I'll tell you what it has been about. It's been about impact. It is about impact. It's about our heart first aligning with His heart. It's about us walking in this radical faith out of this deep love for Jesus. It's about the greatest measure of glory that we can give to God. It's about people for the sake of others. It's about future generations. Together, we're casting our net on the other side of the boat. And I believe if God has the fullness of our hearts, guess what? He's going to fill up our nets. Come on, somebody. He's going to do this to overflowing as fishers of men, not fishermen, so that many, many people will come to know the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, so that many can find healing in Jesus' name, so that marriages can find restoration and through the power of Jesus. We cannot and will not go back to normal. We cannot and will not settle for easy. We will not just find ourselves in ordinary or familiar because too much is at stake. So already the enemy's probably saying, hey, that commitment you made, man, that's too much. That's too big. Can I tell you something? God gave it first, and God will use it to continue to bless you. It's His anyway. It's His anyway. We will continue to walk in faith, moving only as we see Him move. So let's keep looking at the text because there's a few more things I want you to see this morning. Our why behind our what. What, let's just classify what being this movement initiative that we're really launching out today. Look at verse 12. He says, now come, have some breakfast. Jesus says, none of the disciples dared to ask Him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and fish. Can I just pause right here and say this? Through whatever it is that God is asking you to do, the commitment that you made and the fruition of that commitment, monthly, weekly, whatever it is that God is telling you to do, man, I hope that you know that this is the Lord. That this is the Lord. That this is His doing. And then Jesus serves them some bread and fish. This was the third time now that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And watch what happens. Remember Peter, denying Peter, the leader who had gone from faith to total failure. I want you to notice this exchange between Jesus and Peter. In this exchange, I believe that we see who we are to be as a church. We see our why behind our what. We see the motivation behind our mission and the mandate that God has placed upon us. We see the reason for our vision, both for each individual and corporately as a church. Verse 15, after breakfast, Jesus asked Peter a question. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me, Peter, more than anything else? See, listen, church, this is the first thing I believe we're to be about as a church. Let me just qualify. If let's say someone brand new walks in out of the street into this house, and they look at you and say, hey, how long have you been going here? And you say, oh, I've been going here since the beginning. Hey, great. Tell me, what is your church about? These are the things that I hope to jump out of our hearts fast. This is what we're about. Number one, based on this question, I believe that we're to love God. It's not mind-blowing, is it? It's simple language. You've probably heard it 1,000 times in another church. But I really do believe. What are we to be about? We're to love God. But I'm not just saying in a cliche kind of Christian, oh, we love God. Yay. I come once a month, I love God. No. I'm saying that it literally invades every aspect of your life that you can't even ignore it. It's how much you love God. We're to love God. And just as Jesus is asking Peter, If he loves him, I believe he's asking us the same question. See, we are to be about loving God passionately and completely. Yes, Lord, Peter replies. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. See, when you see things in the Bible and you see them repeated a couple of times, you know that these are very, very important things. For example, you might see verily, verily, which means truly, truly. You've seen holy, holy, holy. See, to repeat means emphasis. It shows importance. So look at what happens next. Look at what Jesus says to Peter next, verse 16. Jesus repeats the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter says, you know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus says. Now see, here's where I believe we see the second thing that we are to be about as a church. Number one, we love God. But number two, we serve people. We serve people. We serve people. Can I tell you something? More than just raising your hands in worship to a song, you know what worship is that really, I think, blesses the heart of God is when you reach out and serve people. In fact, I might contend that that's more profound worship to the heart of God than reaching up your hands in response to an emotional moment in a song. Amen. We serve people. See, Jesus repeated the question in 16. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter says, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. But then a third time, Jesus asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, just by the mere fact that Jesus asked the same question three times is where I believe we begin to see the third thing that we are to be about as a church. A third time, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter, he's hurt by this question now for the third time. He says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And he says this, then feed my sheep. Listen, church, as a people, based on this, I believe that we are to love God, we are to serve people, and the fact that Jesus continues over and over to question our love, the motivation of our heart, and to tell us what to do in serving people, I think he's telling us the third thing we need to do is we need to live loud. We need to be not ashamed, Romans 1:16, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be bold about this. We need to be so passionate that when we pull through McDonald's to get a sweet tea, sometimes two or three times a day, because we've got a problem, and we've gotten to be first name basis with the guy that hands you the sweet tea, you probably need to tell him, hey, can I tell you something about Jesus? He loves you, man. He loves you. Can I tell you something? I did a little experiment last week just to see how awkward it would be for me to go, hey, can I tell you something real fast? Thanks for this, but can I tell you, man, Jesus loves you. I did that at two different McDonald's. I have a problem. I like sweet tea. I'm just realizing the depth of the problem I have. But literally... And can I tell you something? Both times it was met with this face of, thank you. Literally both times, thank you. Can I tell you, the outside world is far more receptive than the news cycle would have you believe. So we're to live loud. Just as Jesus obviously wanted to use a flawed failure of a leader in Peter, he wants to use flawed failures of leaders in people like me and in people like you to love him constantly, consistently, to serve his people faithfully and extravagantly. This is why I love days like this, because you see our dream team at its best, little touches of excellence. Man, can we honor our dream team for a moment for the week in and the week out that they serve? Look at this stuff. Our events team, thank you for that. But this is a way that they serve and love God and they love people, just by using the gifts and talents that God has given them to make things excellent so that we feel comfortable and we feel cared for and seen. We live loud, passionately, and boldly for his glory. This is our why behind our what. This is the motivation behind the movement. Speaking of movement, are you ready to hear about a little total that happened over the last 6 weeks or so? Anybody? Come on. Come on. Okay. Come back next week and I'll share it with you, all right? No, I'm just playing. But before we do that, I do want you to check this video out. Let's watch this together and we'll jump right into it, all right? Check it out. Man, I believe that God is doing truly something so powerful in us right now. And I believe there's something so significant happening. Gosh, it's so much bigger than the things that most people would think this is about. And I believe the atmosphere is just shifting in so many different ways when we step into faith and obedience.
What the movement means to me is that I'm making a commitment that I'm all in. I really feel like that I'm making the commitment of, okay, Lord, I surrender, I'm here, I yield to you, this is my home.
When the Lord invites us, it would be an insult to him to say no. And the greatest joys come from when we take the time to, we want to say no and say, yes, Papa.
You are looking at my why. These are my grandchildren. And the reason I'm giving is because I know that many years from now, when I'm no longer here, that these children will have gifts stirred up inside of them through this church, through this body. And they're going to be here living lives of joy as a result of what we do here tonight.
I want to move it because I want to build another church for people who don't know Jesus.
Through building this church, we want to do a legacy. And through the church, like, people could learn to know God.
Some of my friends don't know about God, and I want to bring them to church so they can know about God.
I like my movement.
This movement is all part of God's big plan. We know that it's far beyond us or this church, and it's going to take a lot of people to come alongside in this journey. And we really feel like we've just begun. We're so excited to see not only what he does through the financial side of this, but all the miracles and all the things that are going to happen as a result of us being obedient to what God's doing.
I think we all just need to be open to his movement and just stay focused. If we can keep our eyes on Jesus and we can keep our eyes focused up, then all the circumstances around us will begin to change, all of them. Whether it's our finances, whether it's our children, whether we need breakthrough in our marriage, whatever it is. And as far as the movement, initiative, the building, it's just a building. But what I believe God's gonna do through the people to make that happen is way bigger than that building's ever gonna be.
I believe that the future generations, years from now, of Declaration Church will look back on this moment and they will say, that is the radical faith moment when everything shifted in our church. Come on, everybody. So about a year and a half ago, we began to ask God, what do you want for the future of our church? And I knew there was a stirring. I mean, people began to come to me with dreams and visions. And I began to sense that God was beginning to speak about who we were going to be as he solidified us as a church and what he was desiring for us and from us in the next season. And we'd say, God, what do you want? And our leadership began to pray. And And we didn't pray like, we were praying things like, God, you know, not what you want over the next few months, but really, what do you want big picture, right? God took us to Genesis 12 and to Abraham's call, and we knew that he was inviting us into this radical, crazy faith kind of place in order for his vision for our church to come into fruition. So in January 2018, I stood up on stage probably for the first time since our launch and really cast some really big vision. And it literally took the next year to begin to build the railway tracks, if you will, for how does this thing begin to even look, you know, like we had to ask a lot of big questions based on that vision. And that took us to January 2019. And God began to say the word definition over our church. And so we started to pray for breakthrough starting in January, 21 days of prayer. And of course, it started personally and went out corporately. And then it took us into the series Established. What does it really look like to be a disciple? Heart, mind, soul, and pocketbook, literally. I mean, we looked at every aspect of a follower of Jesus Christ and what that would look like. And we knew, we established, man, God wants our heart first. And we talked about that a lot. And I've continued to talk about it. God wants our hearts first. He wants to move through us in such a massive way. But first, I know that he was desiring to move in us first. Because let me say it like this. When God calls us to move in great faith, I believe he requires us to have a heart of great faithfulness. So he had to do it first in us before through us. And it's at this point that God gave us this vision and even the name of this movement initiative. And you know this by now. You've heard me say this a lot over the past 6 weeks or so, that our number one primary goal for this whole movement initiative has been that 100% of us would be a part of movement, because we do believe that it's our heart that God is after, the whole church. And when he has our heart, he can do anything he desires to do through us. See, understand, this whole thing, it really is about us loving God passionately and us serving people radically, and it's about us living loudly and boldly for his glory. But it all starts at our heart. So our goal, 100% of us joining God in his movement. Now listen, we've not presumed to tell anyone how they should participate in movement, but instead we've invited everyone to determine with God's help how he or she would be a part of the movement initiative. So, without further, you know, words, first, I'd like to start sharing some of them. There's three numbers I want to share. The first number I want to share with you today, get ready, because I think that this number is worth some great celebration. I'm so proud of the people who are represented by this first number, because this represents people in the households that are saying, for the very first time, I'm going to give through Declaration Church to this movement and initiative. I'm going to make a commitment for the very first time to start this journey of generosity and be a part of making a difference for eternity right here through movement. And the number of people that said for the very first time, you ready for it? 59 people. Come on, somebody. 59 people are going to be giving generously and radically to God's mission through Declaration over the next 2 years through movement for the very first time. 59. Now, you know how bad I wanted to round that number up. So if you're number 60, holler at your boy, all right? Just saying. All right. The next number I want you to know about, this is the total number of people represented by households that have made movement commitments. Are you ready for this number? All right. This number is 357. Come on, everybody. 357 people have made commitments during this movement season. That's incredible. Now, look, there are many, many more people at Declaration. Some of you may be among those who give to this church faithfully, regularly, and you will continue to give to this church. And we are including you. We are including those people in this announcement that we're making today. We are not making presumptions about anybody, but we know that you are included, and we want you to be included. We know you're with us. So the numbers that I've given, though, these numbers right here specifically, these are just those that have actually turned in a commitment card. These are the ones that came in that were given to us. So, and I want to say this. This is honestly some conservative estimates. Everything that I'm going to share with you today, it's actually a conservative estimate, because we know that there's going to be many more people, many more families joining into this family called Declaration over the next 2 years. And they're going to be a part of this movement through their discipleship of giving and their generosity. Remember, it's one fund, so every dollar that comes in will go through movement in some way, form, or fashion. So it's really a conservative number that we're going to be giving to you today, at least as a snapshot of where we are today. Now listen, there's also many kids and students that are participating in movement as well. They led the way before us, the week before us in their commitment service. And let's celebrate them learning the discipleship of giving back to God. Let's give them a hand because I think that's incredible. So you know what this means? This means that they're making a difference in movement through their giving. So parents, up those allowances. Thank you. If you've got a declaration student that does some babysitting for you, or for maybe they do some yard work for you, your rates just went up in Jesus' name. You can thank God for your rates going up on that. And so now, you may not track numbers around here the way that we do, but through movement, our annual budget right now sits at about $950,000 for this current year. So over a two-year period, which movement is, that $950,000 over two comes to $1.9 million. But because of movement, our commitments and our expected giving over those 2 years is more than that, all right? And so because it's more than that, I want to tell you exactly how much, but I'm going to need some friends. I'm going to ask some friends to come out here and help me. Are they anywhere in the house, somebody? There they come. Let's give them a round of applause. Some of them are nervous. You got to keep it going for them, though. Come on. All right, hustle up, everybody. They're going to come and help me through this part. Now, you see that there's seven of my friends up here, and they represent seven digits of the expecting giving and the total commitments that we anticipate over the next 2 years. Now, these are all these numbers that we'll hear. You got to scoot over this way a little bit. My OCD can't handle the left or the right justified. Come on. Let's center it up there. There we go. All right, so the decimal point would be over here, obviously. And so are you ready to see the number of the total commitments over 2 years? Are you ready? Because I'm pretty pumped about this. This is going to be exciting. All right, here we go. Let's do it. Let's start. We're going to celebrate every number. Can we celebrate every number? All right, show them your number real fast. Come on. All right, here we go. All right, you ready? Show them your number. All right. You ready? All right, Nikki, show them your number. Come on. See where we are. It's pretty good. Show them your number, bud. All right. Okay, let's see. You ready, Catherine? Show them your number. Come on, somebody. That's a big number right there. You ready? Show them your number. All right. And last but not least, are you ready? Show them a number. Come on, somebody. That's pretty incredible. Okay, hang on just a second, though. Hang on. You two, y'all switch places. That's the number right there, everybody. Come on, somebody. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Now, let me tell you, our events team, they do such a good job, and they are very organized. We've actually had some commitments come in since this number. And so do we have another helper real fast? Will she come down? Here she comes. Let's welcome her. She's shy. Miss Carol's bringing her. She gonna do it? All right, here we go. She's like, why am I doing this? Come on, it's okay. Come on. Miss Carol will help. All right. Is he? There he is. Dad's coming, J.O. Come here. Here, let's do this. Let me see. Okay, you two, y'all switch places. Actually, you hold this. All right, everybody, there's our new number. Let's celebrate that. Okay. All right. So just a few things. Y'all stay here for just a minute, all right? Stay here for just a minute. Now, I want you to see this. This is what we believe that God has told us to do. And this is, I believe, us casting our net on the other side of the boat, moving in faith, listening to the Lord, listening to what God has told us to do, and stepping into that. See, when God invites us to participate with him, he empowers us in ways to accomplish things that we can never accomplish on our own. This was a massive faith step. We knew that when we put this number in front of the church, it was a big faith reach. Now listen, don't forget in our passage, those guys knew how to fish, right? There's no reason that they should not have caught fish all night, except for the fact that they had gone at it on their own. They chose to return to familiar rather than staying radical in faith. And then can I tell you something? Listen, even if we were to return to what we know, the familiar, looking for the easy and safe, there can still be failure in the things that we think are familiar apart from Jesus. And you saw that with those guys. See, anything that we can do in our own effort does not require the Lord. But when Jesus moves on a situation and speaks to us, inviting us to join him, he empowers that situation with a new anointing and provides in abundance. And can I tell you something? I believe, church, we're stepping out in faith and he will provide in abundance. Amen? Amen. I mean, this is massive. Can we give God another big, big hand? Because this is God. This is God. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, guys. You can go sit back down. Thank you so much. Verse 6, he said, throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. And they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Here's something that hit me as I was just thinking and praying and preparing. That number, I want you to know, that number, well, let me show you this first. I don't know if you look at Rayford Roundup on the Facebooks, the Book of Faces, right? The social media. But Rayford Roundup had a picture. I want you to see this picture real fast. See this picture? See all that light blue? That's future growth. All this green over here, future growth. There's future growth down here. There's future growth up there. There's future growth down here behind benders. And I want you to notice the dark spot right in the middle. That's the land that God has presented to us in the middle of all that development and growth. Isn't that incredible? Here's another incredible thing. That number that was put before you, assuming that we all honor the commitment that we made to the Lord, that number provides for us to operate for 2 years and makes that land debt-free in 2 years. Come on, somebody. That's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So I just asked myself, it hit me, what if casting our net on the other side of the boat is moving to the other side of the highway to cast our net from there? I know it's a reach, but it did hit me. But look, I mean, here's Jesus, our provider. Look at verse 10 and 11 one more time real quick. It says, bring some of the fish that you caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and he dragged the net to the shore. There's 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. See, Jesus had told them where to cast the net, and they caught so many fish that the nets were nearly overflowing. But it required faith first. It required obedience. And then, I love this, because Jesus says, bring some of the fish to me. And this is what I want you to see. See, Jesus has this way of taking the things that he asks us to bring to him and multiplies them. And then in that, he still blesses us and provides for us in some way. He said, bring some fish. Keep this in perspective. Our offerings back to him. He is only asking for some of what he provided for us in the first place. He always gives more than enough. There was 153 large fish for just a few guys, way more than they needed. So these commitments we've made to him, he gives us way more than we need anyway, way more than enough. And somehow he's going to even take these things that we sow back into him, and he's going to bless us, and he will continue to provide for us each and every day. So let me end by saying this today. You might remember that our original dollar goal, the second goal for movement, was $5.5 million over the next 2 years. Well, here's the thing. Please remember this. This is just the launch pad. This is a two-year initiative. This is a journey. And really, movement launches. It begins today. I know that there are some of you still today that have yet to be a part. And I want to encourage you, there is still time. You can jump on board with this today. In fact, there's some movement projects that we know that we've got in our hearts that depend on that. So you can still be a part of this. And more so than that, God desires for you to trust him in this way. So don't miss out on this journey. We're truly praying for as close as possible to 100% of us to be on this movement journey together. So I'm just going to boldly ask, will you join us? It's not too late. We celebrate each and every one that says yes to the Lord. There are movement cards available at the Connection Center and at the orange gift boxes in the lobby if you want to grab one and do that today. Now, with this being Celebration Sunday and day one of our giving, the beginning of those commitments, I want to remind you, it's May, it's summer. Typically, May is not a good month. June, terrible month for church. Why? Because you're all in Destin, citing out the future church, you know, satellite. I get it. So don't forget the commitment that you've made to God. In fact, I'm going to ask you boldly today, this month, as you give, seed the storehouse. Let me tell you what I mean. There are some immediate things with the fruition of us stepping into this land that requires us to seed the storehouse. That's why we're saying big give, bring that tithe, bring that offering, okay? So make sure that you're participating in that. And over the summer, if you're going to be out vacationing and all that, I love you. I'll pray for you. Set up recurring giving so that you don't forget, will you? Be a part of it, all right? This is going to be an amazing 2 years of joining God and watching him. And I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited to be on this journey with you. It is such a privilege to be able to join in with God together. And as we give today, let's give cheerfully. Let's give joyfully. And let's give as part of worship. Let's pray, all right? And then we'll go. We're going to have a team come back up. And God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the privilege of what we get to be a part of. God, thank you for how you're moving even now. And God, thank you that we're going to see so many more people come to know you, find freedom, discover how you've created them, and we're going to watch them step into abundant life and making an eternal difference. And we get to do it together. Thank you for all you're doing and what you've done, and that we get to be a part. Jesus, we love you. We love you. And we pray all this in your name, thanking you for this family called Declaration. Amen. Amen.
Hey, this is Pastor John. I want to thank you so much for being with us today for Declaration Church Online. I want to encourage you. We want to be your church family, and we'd love to connect with you. If you want to reach out to us, say hello, maybe send a prayer request, or just share a testimony of how God is moving your life, you can do that through declaration.org/connect. Also, man, God is doing some incredible things right now. If you'd love to join the movement and find out all of the vision that God is pouring out in this church right now, go to jointhemovement.org. You can give to Declaration to be a part of this mission through declaration.org, or you can text the word declaration to 77296. Man, we hope to see you again, either in person at the campus or online right here. God bless.